Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the first session on agronomy, soils, and physiology. I invite the first speaker, Dr. John Snyder, to give his presentation.
Thank you. I'm John Snyder. I'm a crop physiologist at the University of Georgia in Tifton, and I'd like to talk a little bit about photosystem 2 heat tolerance today in cotton. So before I get started, I'd like to talk about photosynthesis in general, talk a little bit about the heat sensitivity of photosynthesis here. So if we look at net photosynthesis, in this particular graph, you know, there's been some debate in the literature as to what the weak link is to photosynthetic activity or net photosynthesis in cotton. And I don't want to go over all the details here, but what I'm mainly doing is I would like to just kind of point out something, and that is that most of the literature that's out there where, leaf temperature has been controlled, what we find is once leaf temperatures get above 35 degrees C, we tend to see declines in net photosynthesis. And like I say, there's been some debate in the literature as to what the underlying mechanism is there. I've got a couple of citations there. But that's all I'm wanting to point out here is that net photosynthetic rate declines once leaf temperatures, and that's an important thing, once leaf temperatures get above 35 degrees C. Now, the interesting thing with photosystem 2, there's a tremendous amount of effort that's been focused on looking at chlorophyll fluorescence and using these tools to characterize cotton's response to stress, whether it's drought stress or high temperature stress. And the interesting thing about photosystem 2, if we look at this graph down here at the bottom, this is FVFM, so this is maximum quantum yield of photosystem 2. It doesn't really decline appreciably until we get up to temperatures close to 45 degrees C. All right? And it's also, the other important thing is that photosystem 2 heat tolerance is very plastic in response to environment. So the interesting thing to me is, even though we have net photosynthetic rate declining substantially, photosystem 2, the efficiency of photosystem 2 is not being affected that drastically by elevated temperature. So this is FVFM of dark adapted leaves. So when might photosystem 2 heat tolerance be relevant? I know this graph is not necessarily the prettiest graph, but all it's really showing is that there's a fairly predictable response of foliage minus air temperature to vapor pressure deficit. So as vapor pressure deficit increases, we have more negative canopy to air temperatures. All right? Meaning what? Meaning that cotton is able to maintain relatively stable canopy temperatures because as that vapor pressure deficit increases, which high temperature will increase that vapor pressure deficit, that canopy cools below air temperature. But the deviation from that well-watered baseline, which is this diagonal line here, these are canopy temperatures that can be at or above air temperature, and that happens typically under drought stress conditions. Okay? So under drought stress conditions, if we have air temperatures that are 40 or above, that canopy can be at 40 or above. If we've got 40, we can have temperatures as high as 45 degrees, we've seen out in the field as well. So under drought stress, I think you've got two things happening. You've got both drought stress occurring and you've got the effect of high temperature, and it could be at a level that would inhibit photosystem 2. Now, this quote that I'm just sort of paraphrasing here was the basis for a previous study where we wanted to assess the plasticity of this response or the stability of heat tolerance across a range of environments. And so what these folks said was that genotypes are more responsive to environment, more plastic in response to environment, whether that environment is cultural practices or environmental conditions, abiotic environment, biotic environment. That particular cultivar should be more yield stable. All right? And so what we wanted to know was if a cultivar is more heat tolerance plastic. So what does that mean? That means in a particular environment, if that cultivar is able to respond, able to increase heat tolerance more so than another cultivar, then we might expect that yield stability, particularly if that yield stability or that yield variability is generated by water availability, we should see a more stable yield response in a variety that's more plastic with respect to heat tolerance, if it has any impact on yield. All right. Now, in contrast, what did we see? This was a previous study that we did, and it's just one variety, comparing one variety to another. We had five different irrigation treatments over 2 years. Those irrigation treatments, just to give you some background, those were scheduled using pre-dawn water potential, so we have a pretty good indicator. We know with a fair amount of certainty that yield variability was driven by water availability. All right. So what did we find? What we found was the cultivar that was more photosynthetically stable across environments and more yield stable across environments was also the more heat tolerance stable, which is the opposite of what we were anticipating. Now this T15 value, I'm going to explain that in a minute. It's just a measure of heat tolerance, and we'll get into that in a minute. So if you look, though, this is just a threshold temperature. If you look at this threshold temperature, we're already in the mid-40s to start out with, and one of these varieties was more stable, all right? It didn't increase up to these levels that might be somewhat unrealistic under field conditions. So this is one cultivar compared to another. So we're somewhat limited in how broad we can make these assumptions or these conclusions, right? And so what I wanted to do was extend this a little bit. And over the past 2 years, past two growing seasons, I went ahead and I just utilized our statewide variety testing locations in Georgia. Second year of the study, I got Daryl to run this as well in Mississippi, in Stoneville. And so I had six different cultivars that I knew differed in yield response just based on, you know, the previous year's OVT data, whether that variety was grown under irrigated or dry land conditions. And so I had three locations, and I guess this outlines it pretty well. So these are our, you know, heat tolerance environments. So we know that sample date can affect heat tolerance of photosystem II. We know that irrigation can affect this. We had different locations, both in Georgia and, again, in Stoneville. And this was over 2 years. So this is just giving you an idea of the range of environments that we had here. And so how did we assess heat tolerance? And that's that T15 value that I mentioned to you earlier. So the sampling protocol, we use the uppermost fully expanded leaf or that fourth node below the apical meristem, sampled that. And what I'll tell you is that we had, this was part of a much larger study where we were collecting, and this, one of the things I'm going to just kind of tell you at this point is this talk will soon transition from a heat tolerance discussion or heat tolerance talk to a drought stress talk. So I'll explain that here momentarily. So anyway, this was part of a bigger study where we were measuring pre-dawn water potential at all of these locations, pre-dawn respiration rates, at first flower and what we're calling peak bloom. We could just say 2 to 3 weeks later, all right, is just how we were defining this. And so doing these measurements at multiple times, and during that time, the reason we were doing that is we have some some pretty solid data indicating that the respiration rates during that particular period of development was strongly related to yield. All right. So anyway, this was all sampled pre-dawn. The leaf samples were then transferred to the laboratory to do heat tolerance assessment. So if all of this was pre-dawn, you know, why am I showing you this picture in the middle of the day? It's because otherwise this slide would look something like this, right? So anyhow, so we take these leaf samples, we transfer them to the lab, and incubate them using this thermoelectric cooling heating element, and then measure quantum yield, or maximum quantum yield of photosystem II using a portable fluorometer. All right. So here's what this looks like. Here's what this heat tolerance assessment looks like. So this is for each leaf that we assessed. Okay. So what we have is we have a range of incubation temperatures. This is a response to increasing temperature. All right. So we had incubation temperatures ranging from 30 degrees C to 50 degrees C, and we defined our heat tolerance threshold across all environments, across all varieties, using this T15 value, all right? That is the temperature, the above optimum temperature at which maximum quantum yield of photosystem II declines 15% from the value at the optimum temperature. And so we applied that across all locations. So the goal here was to identify cultivar-specific differences, okay? So did we see, this is across all environments here, okay? Did we see a cultivar response? No. All right, now that might be expected because from, you know, across all environments, you have quite a bit of variability due to environment, okay? What about this interaction, okay? Now, one of the things you'll notice in here, there's no letters indicating significance. Probably the most important thing for you to note on this particular slide, okay? I would have anticipated that within a given environment, right, within, let's say, environment one, I would have anticipated seeing some differences between cultivars, at least in a few of these environments, okay? Now, these were selected based on yield differences. It's not like we had done a preliminary assessment of heat tolerance. They were selected based on these yield differences, but it turns out we did not see this response, okay? Now, we're using six cultivars. It just turns out that we did not see a difference between these six cultivars in these environments. Now, let me go back here. The environment, though, this is what I want to point out here, and this is where this talk sort of transitions. Environment did strongly affect heat tolerance of photosystem 2. Photosystem 2, one of the things we can conclude about this is that photosystem 2 is, the heat tolerance of photosystem 2 is very plastic in response to environment, okay? So, again, this is just an index here, but you can see a pretty substantial difference. We've got 41 degrees down to almost 45 degrees down here, okay, as that threshold temperature. Okay, so what are the environmental differences that are driving this? What are the environmental differences that are driving this variability? And so I told you we measured predon water potential at all these locations. We had weather stations at every site. Obviously, I wasn't able, you know, probably the ideal thing would be to measure canopy temperature leading up to each period. We had weather stations at each site. I couldn't draw any clear relationships using air temperature leading up to each sample time. Didn't matter how I looked at the data, all right? But water potential, that predon water potential was, was positively, I say positively, that's it's not exactly just a linear relationship there, but there's definitely a relationship between predon water potential and heat tolerance. So the more, the drier, the more drought stress that plant is exposed to, the more heat tolerant photosystem 2 is. That seems to drive heat tolerance differences here. Now, what you would expect, if heat tolerance increases in response to water availability, right, if that's something that matters under drought, you would expect FVFM, or, you know, you'd expect photosystem 2 to remain relatively stable across all environments, right? That's what we found, okay? So this predon FVFM, we had a very stable response across all environments, all right? Doesn't change. And we've seen this repeatedly under drought stress for field-grown cotton. FVFM stays stable even under severe drought stress. We don't see declines in photosynthetic electron transport rate, which we would anticipate because, you know, we would like to see that, of course. But anyway, this stays relatively stable. Electron transport rate stays stable. Why are we seeing big declines in photosynthetic rate? Because photorespiration has to increase under those stress conditions. Now, here's the interesting thing. At night, the respiration rate in all of these environments, it was very responsive. The predon respiration rate was very responsive to environment. So we have a plant that's under severe drought stress, electron transport's maintained, photorespiration increases, and I see this as a way to mitigate that the crop itself mitigates carbon losses, is that we just see declines in respiratory carbon loss at night. That's my take on it. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions that you may have. Let that plant stress at night.
Right. Is that what that shows? Is that you want a nice low or a severe drought stress?
Yeah, that doesn't really address that. This is just showing what's going on at at that particular time of day because we have preliminary data showing that's fairly responsive, right? So that was one of the first papers that, where we were able to, you know, demonstrate the relationship between water-induced yield variability and respiration rate. So it was something we were continuing in this study. As far as irrigation, this particular at multiple some of these locations, they irrigated at night. Some of them they irrigated during the day. So I can't really say that. Yes. Yeah, and so that's the nice thing about this method is it's fairly rapid, actually. I mean, when you can line up all these, you know, these leaf segments, we can do a lot of measurements using that method. So the nice thing is we could do a preliminary heat tolerance assessment, right? This was the decision to use these cultivars was made based on yield data from the variety trials. Now that's assuming that heat tolerance is one of those things that's influencing yield stability, right? So yes, there probably is some variation. We have seen variation. I guess to answer your question, we have seen variation in heat tolerance. Now that I don't know. That I couldn't tell you.
Okay. I think John is going to present the next presentation.